We are in Revelation chapter 13. We'll be doing the entire chapter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, I come and surrender myself to you, Lord, that you may be glorified in this word. God, that you may speak to your people, those who in this very time, Lord, are desiring to hear what you're saying in this letter that you have written and left for us for this very day. So, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do and make it all clear. And just take my feeble attempts and allow them to bring glory to God and help to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 13. Continuing in our study, chapter 13, we want to remember that John writes using symbols and signs in descriptions of people, events, places, and things his eyes have never seen. It's like us leaving the universe and trying to describe something for someone. You know, sights that he has no point of reference to be able to bring a description. He is writing, he's recording all of Revelation at the Lord's command. We know that only once he was told, don't write this down. But everything has been written and left for us at the overseeing of the Lord himself. When we have the symbols, we look for the scripture to interpret scripture. Where it was first mentioned, remember the rule of first mention. In chapter 12, when we went through chapter 12, John was seeing heaven. And in chapter 13, John sees the happenings on the earth. Just to bring some context to what we're looking at with this study, and I will read in a moment. We'll see that John talks about the sea. The sea is referred to as humanity, the masses of humanity, people. It was always the Gentile nations. We see that there are two beasts in this chapter. We have a political beast. We have a religious beast. So we're going to look at the first beast first. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. John is looking out over humanity, and he sees a beast, our first beast. This is the only way to describe the man that John is seeing. When John looks at him, he can only describe him as a beast, not even as a man. But he has all the attributes of a man. And who will rise up and be Satan's man on earth. The Greek meaning for beast is a wild, dangerous animal. We know that Satan is an antichrist. This man is antichrist, meaning not just against Christ, but instead of Christ. He is a substitute. I want you to understand that he will be the ultimate substitute. He comes from humanity. I want you to see in this, have your spiritual eyes open. Put on your spiritual glasses, you can put your spiritual hearing aids in so that you can understand what is happening here. Satan is the great imitator. He is always trying to copy what God does. God is original, Satan only copies. He wants to copy the Holy Trinity. Satan will give an unholy trinity. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through this. This beast, just bear with me for a moment, has seven heads. I want to stop here. I am not going to be like so many of the teachers today and in times past who want to take every figure that's in the political realm, that's in the corporate realm, someone that they're known so well, their name is known to anyone. I'm not trying to do that. I want you to be able to go through this and allow the Holy Spirit to show you. Remember, what my purpose is that we would see what the Word says, but we want to be filled with hope. We want to see our God through this and who is in control. Always keep that in mind. If you know who is in control and who has determined the outcome, then we should be filled with hope. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of suffering, and it will only be for a season. So we look at this, the beast he's described here, he has seven heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns are on his 10 horns, and each head has a blasphemous name. So this is a political leader. When he emerges, he already has 7 kings or presidents or rulers or dictators who are under him, that their power has already been given to him, okay? And that's what the seven heads mean. The horns represent strength. Throughout scripture, number 10 represents law and government. Number 7 means perfection, completeness, or full. This beast rising from the mass of humanity on earth, the Antichrist, has 7 rulers who are the complete rule at this time under his control. I want you to listen to me closely. He also has 10 horns, meaning he not only has all the world leaders following him, also all the strength of the laws and the government of the land are in his control. The 10 horns, the 10 crowns, and each one of the 7 rulers on their head. The head is symbolic of, the person's authority. It's the head, but it is also where you're thinking and you're making your decisions. So when it says that the 7 rulers, the 7 heads, each one at this very forefront of their leadership is cursing God Almighty. Each one, it says, has a blasphemous name on his head. And so, as I was looking at this, I'm thinking, what is it? Is denial of God. Now, I want to give you my opinion. Remember, I told you I would always give you my opinion. And so take this however you choose to. They have the Antichrist's name on their heads in full rejection of Jesus Christ. The 10 horns meaning strength, and wearing 10 crowns representing royalty, sovereignty, immortality. Looking at this, the Antichrist thinks that his strength is forever. The crowns are not on the heads, if you look at this, but the crowns are on the horns. The strength of the Antichrist is crowned with royalty, sovereignty, and he thinks immortality. So he thinks that his strength is forever. I was just thinking on this and I thought, well, apparently he's not read the end of the book. But also, his depraved, fallen state convinces him and all who follow him that he is going to have a different outcome than what is written here. I venture to say that he still says, did God really say, just as he did in the garden, did God really say this, Eve? So he thinks that he can have a different outcome. He thinks that he can turn the tables on God. We saw his entrance in chapter 6, coming on the white horse. I want us to remember that when Jesus opens the seals. That there is a rider on a white horse and he's carrying a bow with no arrows. Remember that? He's going to be, and he has a crown. He went out conquering and to conquer. He's coming in peace with no weapons at first. His image becomes more clear for those with eyes to see, as he is not able to control himself to bring about the fullness of his agenda. God, in the appointed time, will allow. He's going to allow this, that it may be fulfilled, his word, that his word is fulfilled. He will crush Satan's head. He will cast him into the lake of fire. He will put him in hell that was created for him. God created it for him, and it will be his dwelling place for eternity. But God is going to give him one last time. Verse 2, John describes for us this beast. He describes, now I want you to remember, I told you that you needed to read Daniel. You need to read Zechariah. You need to study those. You need to study Matthew 24 so that you have these things in context and you can ponder on them and think on them. And the Holy Spirit can give you further revelation. Now, John says that he's like a leopard. He's like a leopard. And a leopard is swift. It represents vengeance. And it is something that cannot change. A leopard can't change his spots. I know you've heard that. He said that his feet were like the feet of a bear. So it's a leopard, but has the feet of a bear, is what John says it's like. The bears represent evil in Scripture. It says he has a mouth as a lion. We know the lion is roaring. He roars in the jungle to frighten, to announce that he is here, that he is ruler. But we know that this is a false lion, that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The dragon is Satan. I know that this is maybe confusing, but, you know, if you don't catch it the first time, go back and listen. But he describes the beast here, and then we see that the dragon enters in, and the dragon, which is Satan, gives this beast his power, his throne, and his authority. I want you to see this unholy trinity that Satan is setting up. He's copying God. God the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Satan the dragon. God said that Jesus had all power and authority. So Satan is giving his beast, his man on earth, his power, his throne, and his authority. In other words, all the leaders think they are making a choice to serve this political leader, this beast. That's how heaven sees this man. I want you to understand. Heaven does not see him as a man, but sees him as a beast. Because they have willfully rejected Jesus, they are turned over to Satan, and he is directing them because their minds are as deceived and depraved as Satan's. In verse 3, this beast, the Antichrist, this man, will receive a wound to his head, a fatal, a mortal wound, dead. He is healed, brought back to life. This is when Satan fully enters into this man. By the will of God, God allows this. God has said these things are going to happen, and God allows this. He allows Satan to do this. Does this sound familiar? For the world who has rejected Jesus, rejected his resurrection, what does the world say today about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? They absolutely reject it. They reject it, and they say it's not true. But they will accept this with all their might, with all of their thinking, with all of who they are. Collectively, the world will accept this. They will believe that this beast, this man, this political ruler, the whole world will marvel at him, that he was dead and he is now alive. When it says that they marvel, they are filled with wonder, astonished at what has taken place. And the whole world will follow him. The world rejected Jesus when he came. They beat him and hung him on a cross. But not so for this one. This world will love the beast, this man, this political ruler. Why? Why? As we listen to this, as we read this, are we surprised? Listen, stop and think about the men who have risen to power through the centuries. They are all beastly in their heart and in their thinking. What are they given over to? Power, greed, and lust at any expense. Jesus came to save. Do you see the absolute? It's like day and night, of course. He's not the opposite because Jesus is, God is other than Satan. Satan is created. Jesus came to save, and he showed us the way. He laid down his life for us. He lived as a servant. He never forced anyone to believe or to follow him. He bid them come. He said, come, follow me. And you have the choice. I had the choice when I had that call, when I heard him call me. I had the choice to follow him or reject him. And so is every person on the face of this earth. No one can ever say that they were never given a choice. But verse 4 reveals to us how life is restored to the beast. Satan indwells this man, for Satan cannot give life nor take life. God alone is the only one, yet he allowed Satan at this time to enter this man. This statement that the world will say is, who is like the beast? We have never seen this before. Who is able to make war with him? He is revealing himself to the world that it is by brute force. This darkness over mankind is so complete. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. And is that not true of the world? and through the centuries, but this will not just be limited to one nation or one group of people. It will be the entire world. This is all. Remember, the book of Revelation is world events, world happenings. It is not segregated or put in some corner of the world, one small nation or one group of people. It is a world happening. They are amazed. The world is amazed at the incredible power of this beast, this man. In their eyes, he is so mighty and powerful, other than mortal, that he cannot be conquered. They will absolutely be overjoyed at the killing of all who believe that Jesus is Lord. He is a beast, swift, evil, and roaring. Blasphemous words against God, showing his brute force and untempered will to destroy any person or symbol of Jesus. His worship is purely on the grounds of his brute force because the world has taken on his image. So I thought about that. They're little beast. They're little beast. They no longer have the image of God. They have taken on the image of their father, Satan. In verses 5 and 6, this man is going to be the greatest orator. We see that he is given a mouth, speaking great things. This man is going to be the greatest orator the world has ever heard. This is his beginning. This is his beginning. Now, when we get to chapter 13, we've seen him enter in chapter 6. We've seen different things. Remember that Revelation is not happening in sequential order, okay? I want you to keep that in mind. I may repeat it again, but I want you to understand that. He will be eloquent and very skilled in his use of words. Unlike me, he will begin his career softly speaking to the world. To the world in the midst of pandemics. To the world in the midst of climate change. To the world in the midst of economic losses. To the nations that are fighting against one another. And then he will be able to declare his death that everyone was witness to. And that he stands before them resurrected. That he has all power. That he has the power over life and death, and begin to build his words on his ability to give the world peace. He alone is the one who can bring healing. He alone can deliver safety to every nation. Fullness of your refrigerator and your pantries. He alone can restore the world, bring order to the chaos. He will then speak against because his mouth is filled with blasphemies. He cannot contain himself and his hatred for God. And he will speak against God Almighty, against Jesus. And he will finish his speaking with that he is God. But don't worry, we're going to see that he's going to have another beast who's going to come along, and he's going to testify, yes, all of that is true. Let me just tell you. And all will bow down to him and worship him. God allows this for 3.5 years. God allows all of his blasphemies against him, everything concerning him, his name, his dwelling, his people who are in heaven. And the people, God is allowing the people to fill up the cup of wrath prepared for them, for Satan, for all those who will bow down to Satan. God allows him. I want you to understand who is in control. You think, why is God allowing this? God is just. There are things that we don't understand. It does not, because he allows us, does not say, it is not saying that God is not good or God is not perfect or God is not fair or God is not just or God is not able to stop him. Satan has no power except for what God allows him. Never, ever, ever in your mind or your thought or your heart think that you can remove God from his throne. You cannot, nor can Satan. God alone is in control of all of this. And remember this, he only allows it for a short time. It may seem like an eternity. When we go through some type of tribulation, when we go through some wrath of man here on this earth, when we go through a hardship, it seems like an eternity. But our lives are very, very short. If someone lives to be 100, it is still a short life compared to eternity. But this is much shorter than that. Keep that in mind as we go through this. In verse 7, God grants to him, notice, he still can do nothing without God's permission. Even in the midst of suffering, family, only God is in control. Keep that in your foremost thought, because that is where your hope will lie. If tomorrow these things happen, if he comes up tomorrow, we know God's already told us. But our hope is in God, because we know that he is not in control. He has deceived himself, and everyone who follows him have deceived themselves. As I said, we're not studying things in sequential order. We see in past chapters these things happening, and then we come to this in Revelation 13, and it is now giving us more detailed view of the actions of this beast, this man, this Antichrist. I just want you to think back to Genesis 1, and when it says, and God said, and he created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And then when we get to chapter 2, where it talks about how God created man, he created them, Adam, and he created Adam and Eve. In chapter 2, it gives us a more detailed account of the creation of man back in chapter 1 on day 6. But we've already moved on to chapter 2. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to remember how these things are happening for John. John's not told, now this is what happens first, this happens second. John is seeing all these things. We don't even comprehend. Listen, we cannot comprehend what he's seeing, how he's seeing, and the scope that he is seeing. He is viewing this. He was called up to heaven, and he's been looking at the things happening in heaven. Now he's looking down at the things happening on earth. He's looking at supernatural beings. He's looking at the throne room of God. All of these things are happening. And John is a man. And so all of those things are still not clear to him. But he is recording all that he sees for us. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. And everything that we need to know, he will give to us. So we see in verse 7 that the government of the beast will persecute and kill all those who do not bow and worship to the beast. He can only kill the body. We must remember that. Now listen, folks, if you think that I'm so excited to have my head chopped off or any other type of horrendous death, no, I'm not. My prayer is, God, keep me. God, keep me and carry me through this and bring me home. Take me down this road of faith. And at the end of the road of faith, it is you. It is you, the one I've put my hope in. So lovely to behold, to live eternity with. Authority was given him by God alone. So we don't want to lose heart or grow faint in our study. God is in control. God has determined the time for this to happen and the end of it. It will be limited in its scope. It will be intense. I cannot tell you it will not be intense. Now, remember, we're not looking at this with the way other teachers teach it. I'm not teaching you pre, mid, post. I'm telling you to look at the Word of God and believe that wherever God takes you, that He will keep you. But this is nothing compared to the wrath of God, the wrath of Satan and the wrath of man. Man can frighten us. What man can do to man is frightening. What Satan can do to man is frightening. But what God will do, it's a whole other level of frightening. And God is going to pour that wrath out on the beast, man, Satan. God allows him to have authority for a limited time over the world. Let me read verse 8 to you. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, the beast, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. One of the most encouraging verses. Nothing happens, catches God off guard. He is a writing God, and I have said this so many times. Not as he goes along. God's not writing this as all of this is happening. God wrote this. Listen, before the foundation of the world was laid, before there was a star flung into heaven, before there was a universe, before there was air, before all of these things, it was already decided. It was already written. Remember, I told you, I believe, my opinion is that scroll was already written. This was already written. But it had to wait till the right season for John to see these things, to write it. Daniel, I believe, had seen these things, but he was told not to record it. It was not for him. It was not until Jesus had come and he had returned that these things needed to be revealed. John says the last hour, but it was all written when he knew he wanted man to love. He needed, I don't want to say he needed, God created man that he could pour his love out on. Listen, my life, I believe, was ordained by God, and my life is kept by God. He did it and formed me. He fashioned and formed me in my mother's womb, and he is able to keep me. In verses 9 through 10 is a warning. John is saying, if anyone, listen, I'm telling you, if you have an ear, let him hear this. You need to hear this because revelation is meant to be spoken, read aloud, not just silently, but aloud. If you have ears, you need to hear what the Lord is saying, what the Spirit is saying. I want you to understand where he says that he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. God will measure unto you what you have measured to others. God is a just God, and he is in control. It's the patience of the saints. We are to hold steadfast our faith in the living God. And remember, justice is who he is. Justice is who our God is. Now let's finish reading the rest of the scripture, starting at verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast, the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So John sees another beast. This is the religious beast coming up out of the earth. This is a man. He can only describe this man as a beast. But he is not the political leader. He is the religious leader advocating the political leader. He is the one who is saying, follow him. He is the one who is saying, yes, everything he says is true. Yes, he is divine. Yes, yes, yes. And because we cannot help ourselves, we need to worship. They will listen to him also. It says that he's like a lamb, but a lamb doesn't have horns. Having two horns, and he spoke like a dragon. Here he is again. This is Satan imitating Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. False. Imitating gentleness, this religious leader. He's got a little strength, not much. He spoke like a dragon, and how does Satan speak but blasphemies? Blasphemies. Everything he says is against God because of his hatred. Remember, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I told you the Holy Trinity. Now you see the unholy one, Satan, the beast, the Antichrist, this another beast, which is representing the Holy Spirit. This one beats the drum, calling all to see the first beast as divine, as God, little g. Not a man. Don't see him as a man. He will be the first. He will be the first beast preacher of his gospel. I'm trying to keep these beasts straight. He brings a false truth. It's an oxymoron. Satan gives him authority and gives him the ability to perform great signs. And if you notice, he always does this in front of the first beast because the power is coming from him. That is a warning for you. Don't put your faith in looking for signs for everything. Look to the Word of God, for it will not change. God does not change. His word does not change. There's no shadow of turning in him. Satan, remember, comes as an angel of light to deceive. He is a fallen angel and has abilities just because he is an angel, not a man. We are limited to this. He is a fallen angel who can go from here to there and from one dimension to another. He's not limited, bound to the earth. This other beast, this religious leader, will copy the two prophets who sent fire. Fire came out to destroy anyone who came near to harm them. So he's going to call down fire like them, like the prophet Elijah did. It will look as though he is a representative of God. When people look for signs, this right here, listen, take this into your heart. This book right here, the book of Revelation, is very important to your walk now. And you need to have eyes to discern. Listen, this world and so many in so-called churches today are looking for signs. The young people are looking for aliens. They're looking for supernatural. That's why they're so enthralled with all of the programs that are on. Will you be so easily deceived to follow signs that when he says, make an image of the resurrected beast, man? Not only does the first beast live again, but now this religious beast is calling for them to build an image like him, and he has been given. Listen, he was granted power to give breath to the image. I'm not even going to speculate on that. I just want you to stop and think. He was given power to give breath to this image and the ability for it to speak And the price for not worshiping is death. Remember, God forbids images. Verse 16. Now you know what the mark is. I want you to see it tells us what the mark is. It is a line in the sand. See, it's not your social security number. It's not your driver's license number. It's not your passport number. It's not even the events that are happening right now in 2021 when they are demanding that you have a certain shot. But this is a line in the sand. This says, I'm taking this mark because I worship you, beast. Because I worship this Antichrist. That's why I'm taking this mark. But there will be those who have discerning eyes and ears, who have ears to hear, who will refuse to worship the beast by not taking the mark. Today we call them canceled. And everyone, we've seen it today. We even heard that, I don't want to misquote, but I believe that it was Prince Charles who said that people who would not conform should be killed. And he's not the only one. And if I have made a false accusation, I apologize, but I'm believing that that's who said it. So it is, we even hear that today. We hear that in the political world that we live in. So you will die. When that line is drawn in the sand, listen, you can no longer be a submarine Christian only coming up on Sundays. You will no longer be able to sit on the fence. You will no longer be able to declare, oh, I have a private relationship with the Lord. Oh, it's just between me and the Lord. I don't have to tell anyone. You are going to have to take a stand. Plant your flag. Will you take this mark? Will you let your children starve? Will you not let them get the medical treatment they need? Will you not let them have a home to live in or a bed to sleep in? Will you watch out for your elderly parents? Will you take this mark? Will you declare that He is God? Will you declare that He is God and Jesus is not? And you're going to have to tell the whole world. You're going to have to tell the whole world. The whole world's going to know. It's coming to that, folks, where you can no longer hide, creep into a church, and run out very quickly. And then live and have all the signs and symbols and everything that looks like the world. But say secretly, I'm a Christian. If you sit on the fence during this time, you're going to fall off one way or the other. You will take the mark. If you can't stand for Christ now, what are you going to do then? Where will you fall? On the side of a loving, saving God, or on the side of a beast? Revelation 13 reveals Satan's great lie, his counterfeit. First, we have a dragon, Satan, acting as the god of the world, the unseen power behind everything. We see that he raises up a beast, a man, the Antichrist, to be the focus of the world's worship. He allows this because he's indwelling within him. He's not going to let a man have his worship. He's going to be living in this man. He causes the death and resurrection of this man, that all will believe that this man, this beast, is the Savior, that he is divine, that he is God. And the second beast he raises up to be the false prophet, the religious beast, he will work miracles and signs and wonders through him as he points the world to the Antichrist. Counterfeits, counterfeits, counterfeits of God Almighty. Satan can only work a counterfeit. God is invisible. You can't make an image of him. We don't need that. Our faith is in our Lord. In the finished work of Jesus Christ. Christ his Son he raised up, and all worship is directed toward him. Holy Spirit leads the world to worship Jesus and marks believers by indwelling in them. We are marked. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have God's robe of righteousness. The blood has been applied to us and our sins are removed. They're washed away. Satan has created a false trinity to mirror the real trinity. Christ is imitated by the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit, the false prophet, and our God the Father, the invisible Father, by Satan himself. Everyone alive at this time will make a choice. That is where we are coming to. God is bringing this world down to a time where you will choose. You will choose. Let me tell you something. Small and great. That means those living on the hill. That means those living down below the hill. Rich and poor. That means all the billionaires, those flying to the moon, those enjoying all the indulgences the world has to offer, and those who stand with their hand out, those who are starving in huts, free and slave, all those who walk around with their heads held high, who own other people. All will have to choose. All will have to choose, and no one can say that they've never heard. But they've heard. There is no one who will stand before the Lord to receive their punishment who can say, I never heard. I did not know. That is not who he is. He said, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And we know that man's number is 6 because of him being created on the sixth day, and also because we fall short of being perfect. Only God is perfect, and we fall short of that. I will tell you that it is what I have studied. It is only in the Hebrew language that you can calculate the name to 666. So if you use the English language or you use another language and you're trying to calculate and figure out who the Antichrist is, what I've read is that it only works in the Hebrew language because they have a number that correlates with the alphabet. And so we're going to know who he is. We're going to know who he is because of all these things that he's going to do. He will not hide. He's not going to hide. When it comes time for him to step out on that stage, if we are here and it happens tomorrow, we will know it. We will know it. And you will not be tricked into taking a mark. I don't know how people in the West, that includes Europe, Canada, America, how will we respond to this? How will we respond to a lack that we have never, ever in my lifetime seen? Make your choice now. Set your heart on him. Trust him to keep you and to give you the strength for what is needed in the days ahead. Amen. Amen.